It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Tyrus.
I'm Liz Claman.
I'm Greg Jarrett, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, February 4th, 2022. I'm Trey Yingst. America's water infrastructure is at risk of being attacked by foreign adversaries.
Those scenarios that once upon a time used to be things of movies and stories are actually coming to bear. And so we have to take that seriously and make sure our people and our national security is covered.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition. The White House released plans this week to beef up security for America's water infrastructure amid threats from the likes of Russia and China. This comes ahead of the one-year anniversary of a cyber attack against a water treatment system in Florida. So what other attacks could be coming amid rising global tension?
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
When you look at our infrastructure of any type, we all depend on it way more than anybody ever realized.
For more on this story, this is Robert M. Lee, the CEO and founder of Dragos.
The light switch in the morning turns on and light magically comes on. It's a small miracle. Same thing with water coming out of your faucet that's clean and safe to drink. There's a lot of work done by our utilities and infrastructure owners to make that happen. But the reality is our systems are complex. They're changing. They're going through some level of transformation. And all of that equates to opportunities for attackers to take advantage of connectivity and access to these systems. And what we've seen with attackers is not only their desire to disrupt systems, but to use our operations technology, what we'll generally call OT, our operations systems, against themselves and against us. We saw that last year in Oldsmar, Florida, where a remote adversary attempted to poison the water system by increasing the levels of lye in the system into the town. Well, luckily, it was caught. And it was disrupted. And so nobody was hurt or impacted. But those scenarios that once upon a time used to be things of movies and stories are actually coming to bear. And so we have to take that seriously and make sure our people and our national security is covered.
We know there are so many ongoing cyber threats against the United States from foreign adversaries and bad actors around the world. Help us understand the water infrastructure system in the United States and how technology is involved. I mean, why is water so vulnerable?
Yeah, it's so vulnerable, not because of the work of the people involved, right? They're just wonderful people working these utilities. But, you know, we have largely taken advantage of our infrastructure. And there's so much of it that the opportunities for disrupting it are pretty significant. So as an example, when you look at the water infrastructure in the United States, you have somewhere on the order of 50,000 plus water systems. That translates from water filtration to water distribution to, you know, wastewater treatment facilities and things like that. And when you think about 50,000 plus systems that are all getting connected up and in many ways struggling with modernization just because of the cost of it, that is something that again, leaves opportunities for attackers. And it's also something that can have a real impact on us. I think, you know, one of the really important points to make is oftentimes many of these utilities just don't have the resources to do what we know needs to be done. If you think about cybersecurity of our operations infrastructure, as an example, you know, most water utilities, most small ones, they might share one person across 4 or 5 different entities to do basic information technology work, like maintaining their technology and systems. That one person then can't also do cybersecurity. So on the topic of cybersecurity, it's just quite honestly, it's the scale of it and the lack of resources. And it's very difficult to get in front of a small town or community and say, hey, we want to increase your water bill by 10 cents so that we can protect ourselves against foreign adversaries. Like that's just a hard conversation to have at scale.
We heard the White House this week basically doubling down on a commitment to address the issue of water security in the United States and bolster some of the defenses. What's the communication like between some of these local and state level water systems and the federal government? I mean, are there directives in terms of how to protect water on a community level?
There's generally not directives, and the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, who tends to be the sector-specific agency of the government for water sectors, has argued that they need more authorities to try to make those directives. And you know, that's a point of view, and I don't want to challenge that. But what I will say is, regardless of authorities, that's not the issue. The issue is what we just talked about, which is resources. If a utility doesn't have the financial resources to do basic modernization and information technology, they're definitely not going to have the resources to do cybersecurity on top of that as well. So it's not an issue of authorities or directives. It's an issue of resources. That being said, what we've seen out of this administration is really positive. Where they have really stressed the focus of OT, right, that operations technology infrastructure. For years, our infrastructure community appropriately invested a lot, and this is, you know, electric, water, gas, et cetera, a lot on information technology security. So think about your website, your computer systems, like the normal systems that you would log into email and things like that. There was a lot of focus there. There was almost no focus on our operations technology, and that was appropriate years ago, but now that it is much more connected and we see adversaries targeting them, that's no longer appropriate. So what the administration did, again, which is positive, is the amplification of that issue and the clear communication that states, hey, you need to do OT security, and you need to really focus on enhancing your ability to identify and respond to attacks that take place. That the successes we've seen have been in places like the electric sector, where a lot of the electric utilities took that rally cry, ran with it, and absolutely enhanced their capabilities. But they had the resources to do that. You saw a little lesser success in the 100-day plan for gas and natural gas. They wanted to, but some of them did, but some of them don't have the resources. I think we'll see a lot less success in the water sector. There'll be a couple of those big players that do really well. But again, the ones that are resource constrained just don't have the opportunity to do that. So it will have to be a discussion of how do we change the economics? And it will have to be a discussion of how do we use state and local resources correctly. But the idea that federal or state and local government is going to fly in and save the day is misplaced. Their ability to amplify the problem and talk about it is good, and they're doing that. Now we need to focus on the economics of the problem.
You've been listening to Robert M. Lee, the CEO and founder of Dragos. We'll be right back. You mentioned the one-year anniversary of the attack on this water treatment system in Florida. Do you expect to see similar attempts by U.S. adversaries around the world? And I mean, when you look at some of the main threats against U.S. cyber infrastructure, for example, you often hear China, Russia, Iran. I mean, are these the types of adversaries that would try to exploit weaknesses in U.S. water systems?
Absolutely. You know, we've seen Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and a couple others consistently target U.S. infrastructure and have historically done it. We also see others that aren't the big names that are taking shots at it. And the same thing with cyber criminals, especially with ransomware and trying to disrupt our systems for extortion and payments. And the reality is, if you look back 6-7 years ago, we didn't really talk a lot about threats towards operations systems, but now we have more visibility and insight to that problem. And today, you know, at our firm, we're tracking something like 17 different state actors that are explicitly targeting industrial infrastructure. Some of them are scary. Some of them are not. Some of them are just learning and they're doing like what we would call high level reconnaissance, but some of them have shown the ability to hurt people before. There was one group that targeted safety systems in a petrochemical facility in Saudi Arabia and literally tried to kill people through a cyber attack. You know, that's new. That's scary stuff. I often tell people, though, to not freak out. It's not, oh my gosh, things are so horrible and we're all going to die. Like, you know, we got to drop the drama and the movie aspect of it. But there are real risks and issues that we got to get around. And so when you look at US-based systems, we see adversaries consistently trying to get in. And these utilities and infrastructure providers always on that front line trying to keep them out. And there haven't been overarching impacts yet. But people are trying and they keep trying. And so we always have to stay on top of it because any failure, honestly, especially when you're talking national security and human life, is unacceptable.
There's a lot of talk this month about possible cyber action by the Russians amid this tension between Russia and Ukraine. Have you seen any sort of movement on this front, any sort of preparations that different sectors are making in anticipation of a possible attack?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the U.S. government, through the intelligence community, came out, I think, a week or two ago and had a pretty vague but important note to the community where they said, look, if Russia ends up going to conflict with Ukraine, we do expect cyber attacks on U.S. critical infrastructure. And it, like I said, it was vague. And so it raised a lot of questions with people, but the government has really good intel on why that might happen and how it might happen. And from our firm's perspective, you know, we specialize on these operation systems. And when we look at it, we have been seeing an increase in activity of groups that have targeted industrial systems before starting to sort of ratchet up the reconnaissance, ratchet up their probing of our infrastructure, if you will. And we fully expect that if something were to come to bear in terms of conflict, that we will see those cyber attacks. Now, in the good news camp is the fact that our infrastructure providers have consistently been trying to do more and more. And when that 100-day action plan kicked off last year for the electric sector was in April, and that was the first time we had an ICS national security memorandum come out of the White House as well. When that took place, over 100 of the largest electric companies, which cover about 70% of the electric system by members, they ended up moving very quickly to adopt OT technologies and kind of these operations security technologies, one of which is actually, you know, with our firm. And what we saw was a massive increase in the resilience of our infrastructure as a result. So I don't want to, you know, pop the mission success banner and we're all done yet. But I think what we've seen is when the administration says, hey, this is important, whether it's, you know, nobody really cares which administration, when the U.S. government comes out and says this is the singular important thing, our infrastructure community does listen and move to the best of their ability and the resources they have.
Really appreciate your perspective on this amid obviously a lot of current events that are related to these systems and could be affected. Robert M. Lee, the CEO and founder of Dragos, joining us today on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.